Radio Gorgeous, where women do the talking.
So I'm in an office in South Moulton Street, a new development that's been opened. I think it's kind of for alternative health. And I'm here with Caroline Creamer, who is a specialist on wild breathing. Hello, welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi, Josephine.
So lovely to meet you. Now, we all breathe. I mean, why do I need to learn to breathe?
Well, we are breathing. We don't have an awareness of our breathing, but we're all breathing all of the time. Problem being is we're actually not breathing fully and efficiently in a way that's beneficial to our health. First of all, I want to explain to you a little bit more about the diaphragm, the primary breathing muscles, which are there to be used in a way that's going to be most beneficial and then creates full movement throughout the body. It's the diaphragm. It's actually all four layers of the abdominal muscles. And it's what's known as intercostals. These are the muscles that are in between your ribs. So my question and why I got to doing what I do is because why do we have muscles in our between all of our ribs, which go all the way up to the collarbone here, if they're not supposed to be used? Why do we have lungs that come all the way up to just underneath the collarbone? All the way up. Yeah, they do. So although there's seven times more gaseous exchange that takes place in the lower part of the lungs, all of our lungs are there to be utilised. And when we do that, we get movement through the rib cage. It changes our posture as well. It actually sort of brings you up and you sort of start sitting in a very different pose, but it's very easy to be sitting in this position without holding it. And it's also very, very beneficial to the heart, because we are breathing round about, on average, 20,000 times a day.
Fascinating. So, I mean, you're saying all the benefits. Can a normal person do it? I mean, I read that you do, you know, you see athletes, you see all sorts of kind of special people. Just an ordinary person like me, can it benefit me?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it can benefit all of us. And actually, my vision would be to take this into schools and work with children and give them a tool that is so easy for them to use, that they can carry through life, that they can throw in at any point during the day, bring them back into a calmer, more focused, fuller breathing pattern, give them an awareness of what their breathing is doing, which will undoubtedly help them health-wise and all the rest of it. Another thing to really remember is that cancer can't live in an oxygenated environment. So if we are fully utilising our lungs in the way that they're supposed to be used, then one would hope to think that we can cut back on cancers and various other diseases.
What's really interesting is you've created this method, haven't you? What's it called?
Well, I call it Just Breathe. It's a kind of a form of, I guess, wild breathing, because you have to hiss a little bit like a snake. So there's a little bit of a snake invasion going across London at the moment, as more and more of my athletes and triathletes are hissing on a daily basis.
Okay, and so do you do it every day, Caroline?
I do. I wake up in the morning and I do about 10 to 15 minutes of this breath work in bed before I get out.
So it's perfect. You can do it in bed.
Exactly, an exercise.
Yes, yes.
Another fun exercise that you can do in bed. And it's also, you know, by the time you've finished and you sit up and you just sit on the edge of your bed and you stand up, you are so awake, you feel so alive.
How did you come to develop it? You know, what brought you to this? What's your background?
I've always been interested in yoga. I am a trained yoga teacher. Mm-hmm. I don't teach yoga as such, but I use it within my work. But I've always had an understanding and an interest around breathing. I lived in the French Alps and the mountains for 14 years, and that gave me an understanding of my own breathing, because it was very difficult to, or very easy rather, I should say, to get out of breath very, very quickly. Mm. I came back in the late 90s, and I sort of started doing a lot of yoga around that time and yogic breathing. Didn't feel that it matched with the breathing that I had picked up that I was doing in France when I was living in the mountains.
Developed yourself? Sort of.
Yes, just the sense of this freedom. And I couldn't understand how the yoga breathing, it's very controlled breathing, was a natural form, because as soon as you take your consciousness away from it and the mindfulness away from it, you slip back into whatever it was that you were doing before. Mm-hmm. It's not really teaching you how to breathe properly. So I then went off and did something called transformational breathing. Was really interested to find out more, so I went over to America and I did a week of breathing out in America. My friends thought I was completely nuts to go to America to learn how to breathe. Exactly. Can't you do that already? So I went there and I came back from that and discarded it. And I thought, actually, this is still, it's not something that I can see everybody doing on a daily basis, or something that was easy enough to change people's breathing patterns. So I then started reading up books, looking on the internet, and decided to turn everything upside down. Instead of it all being on the inhalation or the hold, so yoga breathing is sort of inhale for four, mm-hmm. hold for four, exhale for four, I decided to look at what would happen if we really just focused on the exhalation and doing a complete exhalation, because the inhalation is going to happen on its own. Your body is going to be screaming for that oxygen. So that next inhalation you make when you fully exhale is going to be huge. It's going to be massive. It's going to be big. And it gives you such a buzz. I have some clients who walk out of here saying, wow, that's, you know, better than having drugs.
So that's why, and if you go for a run, a power walk, you know, you go up, you go skiing, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just the fresh air.
Yeah,
it's totally. All to do with breathing, isn't it?
It's really? It is all to do with breathing.
And as you say, people, I wasn't even aware of breathing out before I did yoga. So in a way, you know, it's like, because you do breathe in. So you're bringing breathing out to the consciousness of people.
Yes, totally. And when I'm breathing normally, I'm not fully exhaling. So the exercise is about fully exhaling. And what it then allows the body to do is have this fantastic big inhalation that really sort of expands the rib cage and the lungs. And we do it with the arms in various positions, with the body in various positions, so we can really get into every nook and cranny of the lungs and get that freedom of movement going through the rib cage.
Can I have a go at it now, please? Can I be a patient?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Of course you can. I'm going to start off with you, though, by asking you to lie down on my couch. So as though you were in bed in the morning.
Should I take my shoes off?
Yes, please.
Okay. Right now. It's a kind of massage table, isn't it?
Okay. And what I'd like you to do is to come and lie down on your back.
Yeah.
With your arms to your side.
Okay. Just put that probably in the middle. Yes. We're putting it in a very precarious position between my legs.
How does that work?
Yeah, yes. It does.
That looks totally wrong.
Yeah.
your arms to your side. So first of all, what I'd like you to do is just have a very, very quick check-in to see what your breathing is like. So I want you to think about, how are you breathing? What's moving? Does it feel shallow? Does it feel deep?
It's about there. It's above the tummy and below the chest.
Okay, so below the rib cage.
Yes.
So where Josephine's actually talking about is from the rib cage down to around about where the belly button is. So that's what's moving for you?
Yes.
Okay. And does it feel deep? Does it feel shallow?
No, it feels quite shallow.
It feels quite shallow.
Yeah.
Okay. And if I was to sit here for long enough, I would work out how many breaths per minute you were going to do. But you're probably, by looking at you, I'm saying you're probably doing about 16 breaths a minute, which is about average. For the point of view of good health, mm-hmm. I would be looking to get you down to about between 8 and 12 breaths
wow.
a minute.
Yeah. Less breaths?
Less breaths per minute. If you're doing less wow. breaths per minute, you're actually bringing in more oxygen into the system.
Mm-hmm.
It's slower, and what it does is it stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system. So this breathing is actually, as well as it energising the body, it's actually very calming.
Fabulous. I mean, so we all need this so badly.
We do. The elite athletes and triathletes who you would think are really utilising their lungs to the full extent aren't. And I've not yet had one come in here being able to breathe with a full diaphragmatic breath. So now we have an understanding of what your breathing is. The system is, I'm going to ask you to breathe in through your nose and then make an out breath with the sound S. So it's hiss, as though you're hissing like a snake. And I'd like that sound to be slow, strong and consistent. So the slow is about making the out breath last as long as you can. When you get to the bottom of what you think is the bottom of your breath, I'm going to ask you to go on a little bit longer. And I'm then going to ask you to take a pause and then let go and just breathe. And we have a diaphragm up here in the throat, and we also have a diaphragm down in the pelvis. If we are tight in the upper rib cage and these muscles, intercostal muscles between the upper ribs, aren't moving and aren't being exercised in any way, and the same with the pelvis, if we're very sort of tight, if we're very drawn in the belly, then the middle diaphragm, which is the one that we all know about, can't function in the same way.
Wow.
Okay.
So you're freeing the bottom and the top.
Mm-hmm. We free it up by tightening it, because when you exhale to that full extent, you tighten the throat, you tighten the belly, you tighten the pelvis.
This is Janice Oko, and you're listening to Radio Gorgeous.
So I've got to take a breath in first.
So now taking a breath in through the nose. Okay, and now off you go. Okay, let me stop you there. Okay, we're not making a shh sound, we're making a like a hissing snake.
Okay.
Do you want to just try the sound? That's it, perfect, lovely. Okay. So that's what we're looking for. In and off you go. Slow it down a little bit. Great. Keep the sound consistent. And what this does by making a sound is it pushes the air out under pressure, therefore strengthening the diaphragm. Keep going. Keep going. That's really good. Keep going. There's more. Keep going. I can feel your belly tightening now. Keep going. The throat's going to tighten. Keep going. There's more. Pause. Let go and just breathe.
Wow.
So tell me, how did that feel?
Well, it did feel like I was deflating.
Yes, you looked like a Pilates ball with the air coming out.
But not quite. I definitely felt the tightness there and there. And when I took the breath in, it went up to my neck. That was the difference. Yeah.
So it starts moving all of these ribs that you've got coming up the top here. A lot of people who I see coming in here have absolutely no movement in here at all. It also restricts what's happening with their shoulders and their shoulder girdle. So the swimmers and the triathletes who are coming in here are discovering that they get greater movement through their shoulders. They're getting a longer reach with their swim stroke, and thereby they're actually reducing their stroke rate, which means they can go further using less energy.
So you're saying to them, go in the water and do...
No, we do this. This is actually exercise for them to do off land. What you're also affecting when you're doing this work, because the umbrella of the diaphragm also has a handle like an umbrella, and it's a sort of a ligament called the crura, and that attaches, it's a sort of muscle ligament, and attaches to the first four lumbar vertebrae. What you've also got happening is a muscle that some of you might have heard about called the psoas muscle.
Yes.
And that attaches to the inside of the thigh, comes up through the pelvis, and also attaches to the lumbar vertebra.
I don't believe it. They all attach.
So they all attach. The psoas muscle is actually incredibly deep to the body. You can't get at it through massage. And I know there's a lot of sports therapists out there saying, I'm working your psoas muscle. There is no way you can work your psoas muscle. I did a human dissection where we took the body apart in layers. And by the time we got right down into that visceral, almost the visceral area, what it is, you take all of the organs out and you get to the spine, you can see there's actually no way that you can reach the psoas muscle through massage. So this is a way of massaging and making an impact onto the psoas muscle, which is a really important muscle in the form of structure. It's the only muscle that transcends the top half of the body to the bottom. And it's also a hip flexor. It's functional in that it helps us to lift our knee up. So it's used often in running and things like that.
And also I've heard in yoga, it's a place where you hold emotion as well. So
yes. We hold emotion throughout the whole body, so it's sort of
so
impacts.
The more you can breathe into it, the more you can let go. Yeah.
Yes, but both these muscles and the pelvic diaphragm and the throat diaphragm are also all part of what I call the core of the body. So instead of the core being this wraparound abdominal bit that everyone thinks of, which we've all learned about, which is funny to sort of kind of create a band in the middle of a long structure to give it's stability, we actually have an apple core of going through the body. So that actually starts on the inside of the, underneath of the foot, the arch of the foot, comes up the inside of the legs, affects the psoas muscle, all the adductors, it affects the diaphragm, it affects the neck muscles, it affects the cheeks, and it affects the temples here. And that is the one that we really need to have a sort of integrity to, in equal balance throughout it, to give us that wonderful feeling of being upright or whatever. By doing this breathing work, you are affecting many of those core muscles.
Yes, because I was going to say, those are actually, thinking about it, those are all the muscles that you hold on to when you're nervous, aren't they? Your jaw, you get the tense headache.
Yes.
You know, you don't breathe. So it's all related, isn't it? Yep. As you say, to emotion and stress.
Yes, absolutely.
So can we have another go again?
We can. And this time I'm going to ask you to take your arms out to shoulder height, yes, spreading them out to the side there.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, now taking a breath in through the nose. And when you're ready, off you go. That's it. That's really good, keeping it nice and consistent. That's great. I can feel the ribs just dropping down. I can feel the stomach beginning to suck in as the diaphragm moves up under the rib cage. And you'll then start to feel your throat tighten. You'll feel the belly tighten. You'll feel the pelvis. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Pause. And now just breathe. And with your arms out to the side, you will feel it really open up across the top here. And we are very closed these days. We have a lot of people with internal sort of rotation of the shoulders. They're very sort of sunk down. This helps to lift them up, at least helps to open them up. So they have much better posture. They have much more freedom of movement. And it really is just in two breaths. So
well,
just
all computer work is hunching over it.
Yes, yeah. You know, sitting on iPads and sitting on phones and texting.
Yeah, it's all looking forward and down.
The way we sit in our cars, it's all sort of drawing, everything is drawing the arms forward, which closes the front part of the chest. So a lot of this work is about opening.
Tell me some stories you've had from people and, you know, maybe some normal people, not athletes, you know, what you've done for them.
I have one particular client in here who's had anxiety for many, many years. He was referred to me from the psychotherapists who work here. And he has struggled for many, many years with this. He came and had one session with me, came back a week later. I gave him breathing exercises to do. He came back a week later and said that was the first time in his life that he hasn't had anxiety for a whole week. And that was just from one session. So how it can
rewarding.
Change. Yes, it's incredibly rewarding.
And can you tell us about the detox element?
Yes, well, one thing to remember is that breathing is a moisture in and out through the lungs. So we lose moisture. So it can make us quite thirsty when we do this breath work, for one. But two, breathing is also a way of detoxing the body. So full diaphragmatic breath, doing these 10 minutes of breathing exercises every morning will help to cleanse your body.
I want to know whether the people in your life are breathing, like, you know, have you got them?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I mean, my children do it. Mm. My friends do it.
Yeah.
So, yes, absolutely. It's all going out there, spreading the word.
It's brilliant. Yeah. So how can people find you? That's the most important thing.
They can find me on the website. You can just Google my name, Caroline Creamer. That's Kremer. I'm also at 58 South Moulton Street, which is a wellbeing business centre here in London.
It's been so fascinating to talk to you today, and I'm just so excited about what you're doing for people.
It's really exciting. I do feel that I'm sitting on something that can change many people's lives and make a big difference, whether they be people who are suffering from anxiety, depression. It does work big time for those kind of people and make some fantastic changes. Or whether you're just a runner going to do the marathon.
And I think your journey is really fascinating as well, because you've done the yoga, but you've also, you know, you physiology, understand, you know what I mean? It's medical and...
Yes, I've put in a lot of extra study purely through my own interest
of
wanting to find out, go out there and discover more. And I keep asking myself questions. What is this? What is that? Why is this? Let me go and experiment with that. So I've done the experiments in the breathing work and taking it into all these different positions to see how that can change various sort of, you know, different parts of our body, and how does it make you feel. And I do it with my, you know, some of my friends and people at the beginning were little guinea pigs for me, you know, let's work on you and see how this can change what's going on for them.
Fantastic.
That's very exciting.
Thank you so much, Caroline, for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
My pleasure, but don't forget to breathe for your 10 minutes every morning.
I will. Thank you so much. Watching every motion.
RadioGorgeous.com.